what kind of linkages were there then between Simon Fraser University and, say, the people of Burnaby or the
Well, except for the students. I mean, under the Monsieur Student Clause, we got quite a lot of students from Burnaby. The Mature Student Clause came partly from the three powers in the land at UBC, President Mackenzie, the Dean of Arts and Science Chart, and the Dean of Graduate Studies, Shrum, were all First World War vets. They had all gone back to university after the war and were very sympathetic to vets. So I had left school at 15 in England because my mother had died that year, and I didn't want to be evacuated when the bombing started and leave my father alone in London. So I left school when I was 15. UBC admitted me under the Mature Student Clause. So all the people involved in the beginning of Simon Fraser were very sympathetic to the vets and to the vets who didn't have normal admission. And that's why we began with the Mature Entry Clause. But from Burnaby and Coquitlam, and New Westminster, we got all sorts of students who weren't vets, a lot were, but a lot weren't, and especially the women we got.
Yes.
And the fact that it was an all-year operation was particularly useful. So we had a substantial number. Unfortunately, the registrar had a nervous breakdown under the pressure of starting.
Yes, that was so interesting, reading that in Hugh Johnson's book, that, yes,
well,
he kind of barricaded himself in his office, is that right?
Well, he was very sad, actually. And when we got into his office, we found boxes that he hadn't done anything with, and all the heads agreed to take on one aspect of his work. And I drew the mature entry because I'd written the guidelines for it, but I couldn't apply them rigorously. We had a banana box of applications with checks and so on, and people who'd driven across the country. I'd done a CBC Take 30 interview was asked about entry standards, and I mentioned the mature entry because all universities did it. We just made it public. And after the show, the CBC switchboard was flooded, and all the technicians, the cameramen and so on, all came and wanted details. And we were swamped. And it was quite innocent. We had simply not assumed or thought of that big collection, and especially the young mothers. And that was a surprise to me.
Yes.
I mean, it was true that once that happened, we did welcome them. And we got some very good students. The head of the library system in Surrey, who was a very good man, was a big unionist in the mill in Trail, and he'd got in under the mature entry clause, and he was very amusing when he was older than the rest. And when all the trouble was on at Simon Fraser, he used to walk around the mobs and he used to say, "You're not the proletariat, I'm the proletariat." And I'll tell you what the proletariat wants, you know. And then he became head of the library system in Surrey. So he was another one. But we did very well with those. And the new registrar, a woman, found that we really had no decent records of anyone we'd admitted in September of 65. So she deceived the students. She said they had to register for exams at Christmas. And the form they had to register for had all the information we should have got to begin with. Letty Wilson, her name was. So Letty was able to study what we'd actually done. And it turned out to be very good. We had the odd problem, but not much. And we got some very good students. Some people thought that we had given up the compulsory English, a language, a science, and math because we wanted students. And that isn't true at all. I'm sure we got some students because of it. I mean, I know we did. One very good student I had, Brian Fawcett, who's become quite a major writer in Canada, came because it had no compulsory math. He told me. There's no doubt we got some students because of it, but we also got some very good students because of it. And a lot of universities actually copied us. The plain fact was that the traditional compulsory courses didn't work. English and French and German appointed professors of literature. They weren't people interested much in the language, and they thought that a good way to teach contemporary French was to study Racine or Corneille, or even Anatole France and so on. And it's not the best way to learn a language.
Yes.
And I took both French and German at UBC, and in both of them I studied 17th century French and 19th century German, you know. And it's not a good way to learn language. So at Simon Fraser, we didn't make it compulsory, but we staffed it with people who were interested in language. And we had not 3 hours a week, but 8 hours a week, plus extensive homework. And when we passed someone in a language, they could speak it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of other universities did that. And on in English, many of the American universities were beginning to take people who specialized in teaching writing. Whereas when I took freshman English at UBC, I did Shakespeare and so on, which is great. I mean, I liked it. It switched me from engineering into English, but it's not a good way to teach writing.
Yes.
And so our reasoning never got much attention. I mean, I said it on the radio and I wrote it, but what got the attention was that we were doing away with the compulsory language. And
So one of the earliest linkages then between SFU and Burnaby then was the children of families living in Burnaby were sending their students there.
Yes, very much so.
So there were no formal liaison committees or whatever between, say, the municipal government and SFU?
I'm sure there would have been something between SRUM and probably the first Board of Governors. For example, the only change in the plans that I put up and SRUM approved was a board member, Arnold Heen, who wanted to have commerce. And we didn't have commerce because we were set up to take the big bulk of arts and science students. That was our mandate. We were only having education as a professional faculty. But Arnold Heen wanted it, and he said that he had a lot of support from the municipalities. And in the end, SRUM didn't want it because it wasn't our mandate. I didn't want it. In the end, however, Heen made quite a good case, and I looked at it. And we decided on a compromise. We would put it in economics. And the argument for that was that typically the average businessman couldn't pass economics 100, and the average economist couldn't read a spreadsheet. So we put them together. And for a while, that worked very well. But in the end, commerce has become tremendously successful. So that was the only change in what you might call the in-house recommendations. And Heen said he had a lot of support from Burnaby.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I did want to ask about the transfer of the land from Burnaby to SFU. Do you remember much about
that? I didn't have anything to do with it at all. It had all been done before I was appointed. My appointment actually took place on January the 1st, 1964, and all the land thing had been worked out by then. Construction started soon after,
okay,
and I had nothing to do with it at all. And the only thing I had from Burnaby was that once it was announced that we were going to have a university in Burnaby, all sorts of people wrote about what they wanted us to do. And most of the things they wanted us to do were things that UBC didn't do. Well, of course, the reason UBC didn't do them was low enrollments. I mean, a number of people wanted interior decorating, and UBC didn't have it. And then particularly from the Valley, not so much Burnaby, but I did get some from Burnaby, but especially from Chilliwack and Abbotsford, all sorts of people wanting us to have theology.
Oh.
And I was quite baffled because UBC had only in the 60s started having theology for credit. When UBC was set up, there was considerable influence from the Maritimes. And a lot of the people from the Maritimes, where you have Francis Xavier, which is Scots Catholic, St. Mary's, which is Irish Catholic, Mount St. Vincent, which is Women's Catholic, Cape Breton, which is Cape Breton Catholic, Acadia, which is Baptist, Mount Allison, which was United, having been Methodist, King's, which was Anglican, and go on. They were determined not to have that here. So the original legislation for UBC, in effect, banned theology. But UBC land had set aside land for theological colleges, residences. It's a separate little parcel of land up on the highway, up on Westbrook. And originally there was Anglican, Catholic and United. And then they had Baptists, and they were just to train ministers. And they were quite progressive, actually. They managed to get together and have one course in biblical Hebrew, for example, instead of four. But UBC didn't have theology for credit until the 60s. I was a young faculty member when it was debated. So I couldn't understand all this demand for us to do it when UBC was just starting it. But I talked to some of the people, and it was absolutely clear that what they wanted were theological colleges based in churches. Mm-hmm. And, you know, UBC had fought that one, and I wasn't going to go along with that. I'm not a believer, but I'm very sympathetic to students who come, especially from the interior, who may have been brought up in some sect, you know, across the river at Thompson from Kamloops, who were nothing but Jehovah's Witnesses and so on. And I always felt terribly sorry for those students who arrived on campus and got really beaten up, you know. And so I set up at Simon Fraser, the first ecumenical pastoral centre, and I persuaded the heads of the theological colleges at UBC to support me, and we set up, we gave them an office and a telephone and some secretarial help, but they had to provide the ministers. And they all agreed, except that the Catholics would appoint their own minister or priests. They wouldn't join the whole group in deciding which ministers have. And as in many things in BC, we thought it was the first in Canada. I'm not sure whether it was, but there is a tendency, there was a tendency in BC. I wrote and edited the first faculty handbook at UBC, and we happily claimed it was the first in Canada. I'm not sure it was. But BC tended to think that if it started on this side of the mountains, it was the first.